Water, water everywhere. Nora dropped a drink. That little line comes from a poem by Samuel Coleridge. It was written in 1798, and it's called The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And it tells the story of an old seaman who committed a terrible sin by slaying an albatross and caused his ship to be becalmed and all there to die. And he was forced to walk around the rest of the time telling everybody about what he had done. In our gospel today, we also hear about lost souls and how they are saved and reunited with the Maker, the one who was slain for us, and how we are assured of this through our baptism. Now, when I read the Bible sometimes, I think maybe perhaps I ought to put on a wetsuit or at least a raincoat, because there's just water everywhere. Water, water everywhere. I mean, in Genesis 1, first thing we read is about the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters of the earth. In Genesis 9, we learn about the great flood, which wiped out a sinful race, but did preserve a seed from which all salvation would come. See, in Ezekiel, we hear about water. In Elijah, we hear him tell Haman, the general, to go dip himself seven times in the Red Sea to make himself holy, or to the Jordan River to make himself holy from leprosy. In Exodus, we hear about how God changed the Nile into blood as a warning to Pharaoh, and later he's parted the Red Sea so that his people could pass over and be in the Promised Land. And even later yet, he closed the Red Sea over Pharaoh's army so that his people would be protected in the Promised Land they had received. In Isaiah, we read about this coming salvation. And Isaiah says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord." In the New Testament, the very first miracle is Christ turning water into wine. Then we also hear him calm the raging sea. We hear him walk on water. We hear of him telling people by wells. He talked to the Samaritan by the well. If you remember that, there's water there. And one of the main things he said was he was teaching Nicodemus. And he says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And finally, the last thing he does before he's ascending to his Father, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." St. Peter really nails the whole thing together for us. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but being made alive in spirit. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God." Now, all these words tell us what baptism is and really what it does for us. But are we really using our baptism as we should, as it was intended? Most Christian churches have a liturgy, but they may not be liturgical. They may have sacraments, but they may not be sacramental. By this I mean, to pass the test as to whether they are liturgical or sacramental, they must inform the hearers by the practices in a meaningful way that tells what they believe and how they believe it. By that I mean, seeing is believing. In other words, what you see is what you get. As an example, when you walk here into the doors of Concordia, the first thing you see is the altar. And on the altar, you see the cross. And if you see an altar, you think of what? Sacrifice. And of course, that's what it is. Here we celebrate the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord that gives us eternal life. You also see pulpits here, and you know that the Word of God is going to be spoken to you, or you would assume that. But what about this sacrament we're talking about today? What about baptism? It is the sacrament that allows us to enter the church in the first place. Now, I've been coming here probably well over 2 years. I've come in here before when I started my vicarage as Tillwinkle. That's a pastor's meeting here. And now I've been coming here, and you've been allowed me to be with you, and it's a great blessing. But I will tell you one thing. I could not describe what our baptismal font looks like. I have no idea. I think it sits over here, and I've really never really paid much attention to it. I've been now in Baptist churches, and I've seen where they have a pool, you know, and maybe they have a curtain in front of it or not. But that tells us that they don't baptize infants like we do. They hold that sacrament away from them. I've seen other things in other churches. For example, in our two seminaries, the baptismal font is at the front of the door when you walk in. It's right there. Beautiful things, big, large things. At Faith Lutheran, we have a baptismal font that sits here as you approach the altar, you know. Now, all these things are nice, but are they commanded? No, they're what we call adiaphoric, things that are not commanded by God. But they certainly do tell a story. And I'm sure that you've heard the old adage, out of sight is out of mind. And this may be true when it comes to our baptism here and how we think about it. How many of you think about baptism as a one-and-done thing? Remember Peter's words that I told you earlier? Baptism saves us now. And it is an ongoing gift from God. It's something that you should hold on to daily. You have been baptized. You get the cross on your forehead. You get the cross on your heart. That's why I do the cross when I do it. It's in remembrance of my baptism. And yes, so do Roman Catholics, but that doesn't mean that's wrong. Luther, in the Small Catechism, writes this about the blessings of baptism. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from the death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. What beautiful words! What things to hold on to! Remember that water that was poured on you. Which of us here do not need daily forgiveness? Raise your hand. And if you are in danger of death and the devil, are you not every day? Do we not seek eternal salvation? Is that why we're not here? My friends, all these things have been given to you in your baptism. You have them. Now, to be clear, the baptismal gift that you have is not because of anything you've done or think or may have done. It is God's gift to you, a gift of his work given to you for you to use, a tool to use daily. Now, do not let the gift of baptism become a distant memory, or think of it as a one-time ceremony at your infancy. Make baptism a living part of the life of yourself, as a believer. It is a daily assurance that we are washed clean and made new every day. In our baptism, the old Adam, or old self, is killed, and a new man emerges, one who can do good works for his neighbor, who can serve God properly. Remember that. You have that gift. In the Nicene Creed, which we say here, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Now, that means once is good. One and done is all you need on baptism. There is no need to be rebaptized or anything else because it is God's work. And by God's work, he does what he says he's going to do. He makes you his child. And You're his child, and that baptism is good, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, not till you hear your confirmation, but it is good forever. Now, I said I had not noticed this baptismal fount here in Concordia, but there is one I have noticed. It sits in the fellowship hall, and it's that beautiful old wooden relic of a baptismal fount. And it was used by this congregation as it started. And I've often wondered, as I see it's made out of wood, I wonder if in that wood, some of the drops of water that baptized the people that started this congregation, who were baptized in that, are still there. Perhaps, just perhaps, we should bring that old relic out and set it here in front of the altar. And as you see it, and you come forward, you will understand what baptism means to you. And it will let it give you the peace that passes all understanding each day. And all that enter here will know that we believe that baptism saves Christ, and we are part of Christ's body. Now, may the remembrance of the good work that God has started in you, in your baptism, be brought to completion. And keep your hearts and minds to life everlasting. Amen.